Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everybody. That's right, it's another Thursday. We head into the weekend. Fun stuff to talk about because we're talking Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. That's right, it's Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations that take place here on the Dave Holly Hour. I am Dave Holly. Thanks for joining. For those that are regular listeners, certainly appreciate the fact that you do so, all the downloads and the likes on Facebook, etc. And make sure you start going to that website, DaveHollyHour.com, because at the end of this episode, which happens to be number 35, at the end of this episode, I'm going to tell you how you can have a chance to win Books and Brews Pizza. They were my very first Dave's Faves that I've done occasionally on this show, and I brag about them a lot. If you end up winning pizza with me at Books and Brews, you're going to find out exactly why if you've never been there before. Hopefully you have, and then you're going to say, man, I'd really like to have some free Books and Brews pizza because I know how damn good it is. All right, there we go. So we've got a couple of great guests lined up for you today. Mr. Zach Dresch, who, first of all, you already heard him on this podcast. He's the guy that does the intro talking about me having an occasional Jack Daniels, or as many of you know, how I like to refer to that as Jasper Newton with a little Diet Coke and a lime. Zach does that opening. Zach is also the one at the end of the show when we do that wrap where, again, going to tell you how to get the Books and Brews pizza. But back to Zach, multi-talented young performer, entertainer of all sorts, stand-up comedian. He does improv, and he's in several bands. He's a great drummer. Well, he's going to talk about the fact that he's getting back to drumming now as we start to loosen things up from the pandemic. Then, Elizabeth Hunstead, who I just last week dubbed as the first official FOTS, friend of the show. So we talk about that. We talk about some of the things that she has done during the pandemic and now is getting back to playing. In fact, a few spots outdoors. We'll give you all the details when we talk to them. Now, interesting situation we find ourselves in this week. For those of you that are regular listeners, you know what the honorable mention is. For first-time listeners, each week we give a shout-out to somebody that made me chuckle, guffaw, laugh, maybe even just kind of go, huh, or wow, how about that? In the past, you know, it's been friends, it's been family, it's been people I've never seen in my life that have done something, maybe even a little bit crazy or stupid, that made me chuckle or something, but it wasn't stupidity this time. In fact, it was great driving technique. Like I mentioned, it's been all sorts of different people, including sometimes a previous guest. But today's show, it's the first time that an honorable mention is going out to somebody that's actually a guest on the show. The shout out that we like to call
Honorable Mention.
And Elizabeth Hunstead. We recorded Tuesday night, not just at Wood Grain Brewery, and we actually went in, because normally if I record at Wood Grain, there's a nice little lobby area. It's got a great table, electricity's close, and I like to do that there. But the other night, that little lobby area was jam-packed, so we actually went into the bar part, had a great conversation. Elizabeth is just so much fun. But the one thing that we all admired before she arrived inside the building, we're looking out the big window panes, the big glass panes of Wood Grain, and somebody is doing an excellent job of parallel parking. It's one of the few things I happen to be pretty ding-dang good at, so much so that my wife will actually, if she's driving, get out of a car sometimes and have me do that. But Elizabeth, you nailed it. Therefore, congratulations on being this week's honorable mention winner. And when we come back, we will hear from Mr. Zach Dresch on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Oh, you know what Thursday means? It means we talk Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations here on the Dave Holly Hour. I'm Dave Holly, and our conversation numero uno today is with my friend Zach Dresch.
How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well. Better anytime I see you.
Likewise, my friend.
All right.
We always say that to each other.
We pretty well do. Yeah. Maybe like only 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, if we miss it, it's an off day
That's
for both
true.
Of us.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
So, we've been pretty much starting to get back to normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After COVID-19. And for you, in all the variety of things you do, you're at least back to one of them with rehearsals, right?
Right, yeah. I'm about 75% back with... the only thing that's missing in my life is comedy right now.
Yeah.
As far as consistent, like, there's no open mics yet. We're still waiting to... let the CDC kind of regulations go down a little bit, but rehearsals and stuff like that are go, and so everything's kind of getting back into the swing of things. So it's good for me and good for my energy just to kind of drum and take all my aggression out on the skins.
And now, how many bands are you in currently? That you're at? Well, first of all, we'll go through the number you're in. And then we'll narrow it down with how many are you rehearsing at the time.
Two that I'm actively rehearsing all the time, weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Disarmed and Sharon's Little Helpers are the two that are the main ones. Disarmed I've been doing for 8 years. And we're working on a new album, writing new stuff. We have we want to do 10 tracks, and we have 8 written. And we like to wait and write 2 more before we record. So it's one of those things that a lot of bands do EPs, good for them. For us, we love the solid front-to-back album.
Like, I do too.
It's a thing. I just like...
The EP is, for those who don't know, give us the definition of the number of tracks when it becomes an LP versus an EP.
An extended play is typically 3 to 6, 7 tracks. A single is more than 1 to 2 songs, mainly for radio folks such as yourself.
Right.
It's very much a 1 or 2 song thing. The first track is the hot one, the one that everyone gets attention to on the radio. The backside's like one that was like, it was an afterthought.
Yeah.
And then EPs, 6 to 7 tracks, and then a full LP is usually 9 to 12, depending on the length of the songs by the artist. Like Rush has like 7 songs and it's like 50 minutes. But really it's kind of that's the full length LP.
Or you go back to the early 70s with Iron Butterfly and Inagata De Vita.
Right.
Yeah, you've got 8 tracks on one side and then 1 on the entire rest of the side.
Yeah. So, there was one time I was at a bar and that they were playing the full version of Bennett. And I was like, this song is still going? Oh, that's right. It's 18 minutes.
We used to have words to describe those in the radio business.
Oh, bathroom songs, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or
else. Not so nicely said as you just did, though.
Crapper songs?
Crapper songs would be closer.
Oh, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, that's closer at least.
I'm getting there.
You know, it okay, it's a podcast. Go ahead.
Shitter songs.
You got it.
All right.
There were those. Yeah. And then I didn't smoke, but there were smoke songs.
Right.
Yeah. Which typically was Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald, because that was... almost 7 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, typical cigarette is apparently 7 minutes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they, you know, snuff it out, get back in.
Yeah. My mom used to DJ at her college radio station, and she was like, yeah, Zeppelin was my go-to for Stairway to Heaven was her bathroom song.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got to have them.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're in a booth for X amount of hours,
Yeah.
In fact, some of the places that I DJed at years ago, before all the electronics came along, it was a 6-hour shift. A couple of places. That's a mighty long day.
Yeah. I've done, when I DJed at KCFS back in the day, we did 8-hour shifts.
You're serious?
But we took like an hour break, that kind of a thing. So,
oh, okay.
So I would like program an hour's worth of stuff that I'd want to listen to on my way to getting food. And,
Campus cafeteria, here we come.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what was the go-to then in that hour?
Oh, good question. I would typically play whatever I was feeling that time, like genre-wise, or I just play an entire album because I was lazy to put together a playlist. Just like, you know what? Here's two or three tracks, a liner announcing the station, two or three more tracks, and then liner, and then back at it again.
Yeah.
I would announce, don't call me for the next hour. I'm going to use the restroom.
So. And then they'd wonder about your dietary habits if you were going for an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a bad problem. Otherwise, we also, like two or three of us DJ during the summer, and each of us had a different style of what we like to play. Mm-hmm. And so when you heard really twangy country, you know it wasn't me. Otherwise, people would be like, Zach, what's your problem? and then like my friend Tanner's like, I like this stuff. Shut up. And so I'm like, whatever. Shout out to Tanner if you're listening. No, it was just such a different, everyone in the station had a distinct, like some people preferred soulful pop more than, and then someone like country. And I was kind of all over the place. I wouldn't really play twangy country. That was like the one thing I didn't play.
Yeah, those are college radio stations, the freedom that you had.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a lot of freedom for a Christian liberal arts radio station. Metal Monday is what I played metal music for like 3 hours. And the best part about it was the radio station was located right by the coffee shop. The student coffee shop, so they'd play the radio station over the speakers,
right?
And I would just be blaring really intense metal music, like not even the radio friendly nowadays Iron Maiden, that kind of cheesy or 80s British stuff, but like the really intense screaming, sometimes lyrically questionable, but you couldn't tell what it was, so I just let it go. There was like bands.
Oh, so if someone caught it, you can always say, oh, is that what it says?
Yeah, I just claim ignorance.
Yeah.
And then it'd be fine. There was a band I played once called Cattle Decapitation. Real band. A lot of my friends like them. They have a following, but it's not for me, but it's fun to play on the radio when you want to get a reaction. So, yeah.
Getting a reaction. See, that's, you know, a commercial radio station. That would kind of be a no-no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is over-programmed and over-formatted to the point that there's nothing a regular Joe can do anymore.
Yeah, as long as it's FCC regulated, then we're fine. Yeah, as long as there's no swearing, unless it's accidentally screamed. But,
right.
Go figure.
All right, so back at it with two bands and the rehearsals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah.
I miss the guys. Disarm, this is our rehearsing every Sunday, so it's been good. It's been good to get back at it. We are rehearsing behind Remedy now over on 8th and Railroad, so that's a good place to do it, and it's a lot spacier, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I saw the picture online, and I thought, wow, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's at Studio Blue Events. They've been really great to us, and it's a really great space. It's like we each have like our own giant section to just play, and so it's a lot of fun, and it's hot there, but it's hot outside, so it's hot too.
Right.
So plus you're like anaerobic activity for like 5 minutes a piece and then just, oh, I'm tired. But yeah.
Sweatpants, here we come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sweatpants. Now I'm joined the gym, so that helps me too. So
there you go.
So that's getting me a little more in shape. I didn't go today because it was a long day yesterday. I was just like, I need a day. Like, worked 8 hours, 7-8 hours, then worked out at the gym, then band rehearsal, then karaoke night.
Yes.
And the alibi. So it was a whole...
That's a day and a half.
Yeah, that was a 20-hour day, I'm pretty sure. So I was like, I'm going to not do anything today.
Well, I think you deserve that.
Sometimes. Some days.
You deserve that. So with this new rehearsal space, you get to leave your drum set there?
No, he's got to bring it back and forth.
Yeah.
But it's good exercise, so I'm taking it in a positive light. So we used to rehearse at my father's studio cat house, so but now we can't. Obviously, it's done now, so we can't really just leave them there and be like, all right, we're done. Yeah. I have to like really get in the mood.
That load up and load out. And,
yeah. I'm just glad I purchased pre-workout mix now, so I can just like, that's my workout is loading the drums in and out.
Yeah.
So it works.
All right. And what about Improv Falls that you're part of? I see that you've had some social distance rehearsal.
Yeah, we're doing stuff like just chatting over FaceTime stuff, we're working on skits right now. We're not sure if we're going to do those live or pre-recorded or whatnot, but we're going to be working.
More like a sketch kind of meeting?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, or we'll have a template and then improv the dialogue, that kind of a thing.
Right.
So I think that's kind of fun just to have a skit in that we've already put together order-wise, but then let it flow and just make it up. So that's kind of a fun thing. We're doing some games over on FaceTime just for fun, just to kind of get things back on track. We're not sure we want to come back yet because everyone in the troupe has family, large families, so they're trying to avoid safety cautious or anything. I'm the only single one in the troops. So I'm like, let's go now.
Yeah.
Let's do it. But they're like, hold off. I'm just like, I don't have kids. Clearly. But yeah, we're trying to get back in the swing of it. I was telling you, for the first show idea that I wanted to do for Improv Falls is get a Corona shaped pinata and beat the crap out of it at the beginning of the show. That's
and
metaphor.
Get a bar to sponsor it with Corona that night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a metaphor for 2020, essentially. So
this was the year we were all supposed to see clearly.
Yeah, not really.
It's tough when your glasses fog over because you're wearing a mask.
Right. Ben Stein was wrong. Clear eyes don't work.
True.
Clear eyes. Something like that.
Man, that brought back some old commercials.
What happened to Ben Stein? I haven't seen Ben Stein in forever.
He must have given away too much of his money.
Yeah, he probably is just...
Win Ben Stein's money.
Probably just sits in a condo by himself like, I gave away all my money to Jimmy Kimmel.
All right, so the one thing, and would you call it the love of your entertainment life?
The
stand-up?
I guess it's the one that kind of got me where everything else is now, I suppose. It's kind of the thing that gave me the confidence to branch out and do everything else. Like, you know, I guess I started with improv in college, and then a couple years in, started doing plays, and then did stand-up. Stand-up's been the constant over the last 8 years, I should say, since I've kind of all started everything. Because when I graduated college, I didn't have plays to do. I wasn't in college anymore, so stand-up was the constant that I had, keeping me going as far as entertainment goes. So stand-up has always been probably the main one. Disarmed has been there, too, since before stand-up, actually. So those two have been kind of constants for me. Mm-hmm. But stand-up's the one that I dedicated since March about 5-6 days a week, too. So like,
really?
When I wasn't working, yeah. Okay.
So any hints as to when we might see you out live again?
Not sure yet. Bosses has been doing Comedy Drive-In, which has been a lot of fun. I went to the first one they did. That was a blast. So far, that's the one thing they're doing right now. They're doing Vocabularious on Facebook Live. So that's kind of been keeping people entertained. Right now, I'm trying to see if we can get some open mics going outside or something for some people that are worried about social distancing, that kind of a thing. I would like to make that a reality. Skyler has been wanting to do bonus round stuff soon, so that's kind of to be determined. He's working on that right now. But that's kind of the prospects is stuff on the horizon for comedy right now. I was talking to Nate Holtz about it, owner of Boss's Comedy. He's like, if we can, once the CDC dies down on stuff, because if we did it now, we could only fit 15 people in the club, and that's just not ideal. He wants to fit as many people in that club as you can with regulations, like 50 people. Like, that's ideal because it's 15. It'd feel like it was 5 years ago with open mics. But no, we want to wait until we can fill the club up and safely feel at ease with it. So, and I get his point as much as I'm like, come on, let's do it.
Now, you were part of a couple of the things virtually.
Yeah.
You did do that. How did that feel?
Different. I did actually two of the virtual sets for 50 minutes. So it was probably one of the longest sets I've ever done. And I felt good about them. Mm-hmm. So if you feel good about doing a 50-minute set in front of no one or four people, imagine how you're going to feel when you do it in front of a crowd. It's going to feel like crack, you know? It's going to feel so good. So like, I knew it was going to be awkward, and that's why I made it fun that way. So I'm like, I know this is going to be strange for people. Just sit down. Let's enjoy this together. And so whenever a joke didn't land, because most of them didn't because there was silence, I just kept looking at my set list like, did I put that in the set? Why did I do that? Okay. Yeah. And then just made a joke out of it and just moved on. Or I'd like scream into the camera. Did you get that one? Huh? You like that one? Because it's, and I'd explain it and then ruin it. So like,
but then you were also part of prom night,
right? Yeah, that was fun.
Yes,
That was
with our friends at Dual Purpose.
Yes, Nick and Michael, their friend, hit fantastic people. It was great to get to do that and raise for a good cause for coronavirus relief. And yeah, I've been helping Nick and Michael run sound and stuff for their shows that they've been doing online and stuff as well. And Nick and I are doing a show at Woodgrain in a couple weeks. Not stand up, but I'm playing drums okay. with him. Yep. So, because he wanted some percussion accompaniment. So
excellent.
So it's going to be a good chance to get out there and perform live again on a set show. And
well, I did end up being the prom king.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can add that to my resume.
There you go.
2020 yep. virtual prom king.
Many accomplishments. 2020 prom king. Highest on the list. Yep.
we'll put it right up there.
Yep, right on the
front. That and you know, very close to having to learn Zoom.
Right. Oh, another thing at Zoom, but it's so confusing. Like, I am not, it sounds weird to be in radio for years and not know a damn thing about technology.
Yeah.
Like, some stuff, but like, my Wi-Fi at home is so bad. It's just like, anytime I'm asked to be on a virtual show, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, I want to say yes, but I'm like, well, do you want a laggy connection? Because that's what you're going to get from me.
Yeah. Well, until we finally sprung here at the Holly household to get high-speed internet. And just to give you an idea what a difference it means, because before that, and somebody wanted to do a Zoom meeting, it would pop up, you know, Dave Holly's bandwidth is not strong enough.
Right. That's what mine is, too.
And all this other stuff. And I'm like, oh, man. So I just have to do audio only. And then the people that did have high-speed internet that could have video were like, oh, well, how come I can't see you?
So, yeah, exactly.
We got a technical issue here. Yeah. But to give you a difference as to how much it made a difference mm-hmm. is it used to take to load, after I've got the podcast all set, I've edited, I've, you know, mixed it down, I've got everything in place, and then it's time to upload it to the server that has it and keeps it.
Right.
That would take, at best, 20 minutes, usually more, a half hour. Yep. And then if there was ever a glitch, and you were like 99% of the way through, and it decided not to take the rest of it, and you'd have to do it over.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it might be an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I start the upload, and then I start to type in who's on the episode, and it's finished uploading by the time I finish typing.
There you go. That's awesome.
So now I can do the Zoom with video, but you know what? I just prefer, honestly, face-to-face.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And besides, Zoom had a little upgrade, and so now you got to go click a different button. And
yeah.
I'm with you.
I tried to start a meeting on Zoom once for Improv Falls, and I just gave up because I couldn't actually get into my own meeting that I set up. Like, thanks, Zoom. Sorry, Zoom.
send yourself an invite next time.
Yeah, I know. It's like, he doesn't need to be there. He just started it, so started the meeting.
All right. So the length of time that you were spending on writing and working on the stand-up, you said 5 to 6 days a week?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I have not written that much, to be honest.
Really?
It's been hard because since I still work at Hy-Vee, that's the only thing in my life mm-hmm. that has not changed drastically except for wearing masks. That's the only real thing. And people have been asking me, oh, I bet you're writing a ton of stuff now. I'm like, no, because you can't write stuff. And I when I tried writing stuff, I don't have a crowd to test it on. So I'm like, how do I know if I'm going in the right direction?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of just decided to take a little sabbatical from it, and just if an idea comes to me, great. If not, there's no shows going on, it's fine. I don't have to like really. And I was just mentally exhausted for a couple months there, because mm-hmm. I had realized that by mid-March, when everything was going on still, I was kind of taking things for granted because I was doing so much, but I was just kind of just tired and needed a break. So at first the quarantine was a blessing because I was tired and mm-hmm. I needed a breather, but now that it's been 4 months now, I'm just like, let's just get back into everything again, because I've had the break and I'm ready to tell jokes again to people. 5 or 50. I don't either. Like, yeah, I want that feeling of walking into a bar and someone being like, oh, this guy again. I want that so bad.
Well, you were talking about the fact that there's no open mics yet. When it comes to that, that is, as you were just mentioning a little bit ago,
yeah,
nobody to try a joke out on.
Right.
That is not just necessarily a proving ground for some new comics, but the seasoned ones as well. You go in. Yep. And it's a place to give something a go.
Yeah, yeah. I can't test it out. Like, there are virtual open mics, yes, but it's different. It's not the same, because, like, laughter could be lagging or something's just not. It's a technical thing, because, like, everyone's connection's different. And some open mics, I haven't done any of these, but some, like, from out of town and stuff, there's, like, 50 people in an open mic, and, like, that is just sheer terror. I don't, like, it's 4 hours of just, let's give this a go, but everyone has a bad connection, and it's just like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't have the stamina to do that, right? Even just sitting at home, I don't have the mental stamina.
Funny, it's tough to be funny when you're frustrated.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, hi, everyone. Oh, is this working? Who cares? Here's the first joke. And then, like, yeah. I mean, the Bosses ones were great because we had, like, 6 comics on 1 hour, and that was it, because Nate just limited it for each week, because I was like, you know, people are not going to want to sit for 3 hours.
Smart move.
Yeah, it's like hour and 15 max, and so he was playing it smart, so that was good to do, because he would keep the comics laughing on the in the background, and he goes, if you're a comic on this thing, laugh as loud as you can for support, to make it sound like there's laughter there. So that was good. But I think other open mics, it's just kind of like, yeah, if you're laughing, whatever. But
so did you write any COVID-19 or pandemic-type jokes?
I kind of had some stuff about how, being the flu bug, I get blamed more for COVID than people that actually COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that. Do you know people that recognize that you're the flu bug come in high B now and so forth and go, oh, thanks, guy.
Yeah, where were you on this one, you piece of shit?
Yeah.
Could have helped out.
Yeah.
Where's the vaccine? It's coming. I don't know. I think we'll see. But.
All right. So we are speaking with Zach Dresch, who is a comedian. He is an improv comedy actor. The comedian part being the stand-up. And then he's also a drummer and plays in a variety of bands. We mentioned the two that you're rehearsing with at this point. How many others were you working on?
There's
Or that you'll be playing
and doing something involved with. Yeah. One of them is called Aliens Do Exist. It's a Blink-182 cover band. We're doing something fun right now where Babo, our bassist and guitarist, he's been doing quarantine videos for us. So he's recording each of us playing the tracks individually and then putting them together in one video. So it's like we're all playing in different places. And so he can put these on YouTube and Facebook. So we're kind of, because our guitarist moved away a couple years ago. So that's why we haven't been active. So he's going to film him in Indiana, or he's going to film himself in Indiana playing guitar to these songs and then putting it all together in one. So I basically, when I recorded my drum tracks, I knew the songs by heart, so I didn't play along to anything. I just played the drums and had the song in my head, and so that was a little different of a process to play. I'm like, oh, I have no cues. I just have to rely on my memory to get through, and that was challenging. But it was it was my first time playing drums in like 3 months, so I needed that escape.
Do I recall from the last time that we had you on the show that you have a bit of a photographic memory?
A little bit, as far as theater, like memorizing scripts and stuff. And yeah, so that's beneficial because for the radio play that I did with Goodnight Theater back in December, I was the only person that had to memorize things because it was a radio play. So you could just read off a script on stage and no one would know the wiser because it's a radio play. So you can get away with that. But I was the host of the event. So I had to come across as like, I've got my stuff together. Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to expect. And if I was reading those lines off on a script, that would look really weird. And like, we all knew that. And I'm just like, if I just say the show you're about to see right now is going to be fun, and I'm looking into my nose into a book, that would not be viable. So I'm just like, let's just do that and figure it out.
And by the way, that production up for some Sioux Falls Stage Awards.
Yeah, I saw that. Nick Jackson. Yeah, he did such a good job. He played like 8 different characters, 8 or 10. He was. And also another side note, he and Luke Tatke are doing a Christmas in July Goodnight Theater show next month. It's a virtual sketch comedy show, and I'm in some of the skits.
Okay.
Nick and Luke have been writing all these skits, and they're all Christmas-themed skits in July, hence the title. And some of the skits we've been coming up with are really funny. They're such good writers, and they can just write off the spot, top of their head. I'm just truly envious. Like, they can write in these trying times. I'm like, how do you do it? I don't like...
Yeah, I don't know Nick that well, but Luke especially is just, he never stops.
Yeah, Luke is constant. I don't know how, the man is just constantly racing, like running, writing. I'm like, I am envious of that, my friend. You should get Nick on this show. Nick's a blast to talk to.
Well, I will do that.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. We'll get to Nick on there. Yeah, he's great. So, yeah, Nick is just a powerhouse of energy, too. He's so funny.
Well, in the meantime, the other thing that we get to talk about now is a mutual affection for going to a couple of places for karaoke.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, the last week we've done two karaoke nights together, and it's been a blast. Red Rock in Brandon and Books and Brews Pizzeria.
Yeah.
Yeah, back from the dead. I'm so happy they're back.
Oh, no
kidding.
Their
pizzas. And Angela and Travis are amazing people, and their food is the best. So, yeah, it was very fun to. That was an interesting night because it was just like all these people started kind of coming in at Books and Brews, and all of a sudden we were all just doing songs out of our comfort zones. And I think that was like, it was so fun. Like, you were killing it with all the jazz and country songs. And Chad or Carl?
Chad and
Carl
and
was Carl. The one that stayed the whole time, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carl was going up and doing gangster rap. I'm like, what?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you don't expect it when you take a look at him. That
right.
You're going to get that wide of genres.
Right.
That he's going to be singing for the night.
Like, I expected, like, Gordon Lightfoot. Like, that kind of stuff, which is not bad. But I'm like, nope. I didn't expect, oh, yeah, I'm going to do gangster rap.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up there and, yeah, how much can we get? Can I do a metal song too? Actually, like, I think this is after you guys left. Carl went up, and I'm like, Carl, are you going to do death metal? He goes, no. So it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, very good times, and glad that you have joined us the past couple of times.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. So you're out karaokeing. You've got a gig coming up with Nick Burke in a couple of weeks at Woodgrain, where you're going to play drums for him. And you're also in some of the skits for the Christmas in July for Goodnight Theater.
Yep.
Any prediction on what the first stand-up you'll do live is going to be, where it'll be, or
I have a feeling.
What do you hope it's going to be?
Maybe? I'm hoping Nate does another comedy drive-in and that I'm a part of it. We'll see. Cross my fingers. I don't know. But that'd be kind of, I feel like that'd be my breaking out again, doing something. That seems like the most fitting first show. Otherwise, an open mic or something, we'll see what happens. But maybe do, because Nate's like, if you can find a place to do open mic that you feel safe doing, go for it. But yeah, I'd love to do Bosses again as soon as possible, hopefully July or August. We're not sure. Improv Falls, we're actually actively texting each other, like, when can we start doing a show again?
Getting closer.
When do we feel safe?
Yeah.
And so we're like thinking August or September at this point, because we had some shows booked that we were so excited to do that got canceled, like Goss Opera House in Watertown.
Yeah.
Got canceled. And so it's just like, I looked at the venue, like Chris, who works there, sent me photos. I'm like, damn, that venue looks so good now. And I'm just like, oh, we had to cancel that show. But I think they're rescheduling a bunch of stuff.
Well, I just know that, you know, even for me doing this, getting back to being face to face with people is just so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, having to do it virtually. And I thank you.
Yeah. Thank you,
for coming along.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, for those that don't pay that much attention, you hear Zach every week on this show. The beginning and the end and a little end from the Dipsy Doodle Production Studios. That is Zach. All right, my friend, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Dave. You're the best, and it's always a pleasure to see you.
It's a pleasure to see you, my friend. And I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Time for more arts and entertainment talk on the Dave Holly Hour.
You know, at the end of the show last week, we mentioned we might have somebody back. And I even brought up some initials, a little acronym, because Elizabeth Hunstead is with us, and she is the original FOTS, friend of the show.
Oh, nice. I was like, I don't know that acronym.
So we officially made you that.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and others may join the club.
Yeah.
By being so kind and generous about when they're out and about entertaining or performing and so forth, and talking about the show the way that you do.
Nice.
You know, we've got some other people 6 foot or 6 foot over, and also dual purpose, also friends of the show. So, in fact, we just saw a week or so ago outside here at Wood Grain Brewery, where we're recording this particular chat. The last that we finally saw back here at Wood Grain was 6 feet over.
All right.
Yeah. And you have played here so many times. In fact, this is where we first met you.
Yes.
Was at Wood Grain. So this is a great place to do this.
It is. And thanks for having it here. I'm really glad to see that they, along with a lot of venues, are able to start getting live music again. It's
yeah,
awesome.
It's been great. You've been out a few times now playing performances live, which has been awesome. But you were also one of the first to hop on doing something virtually, too.
Yes.
And in fact, one of your first ones, if maybe not your first virtual show that you did, was for Wood Grain, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first one I did was for Calico Skies Winery, but
okay.
Wood Grain carries their wine,
yeah?
So it's all connected. Anyway,
well, very much so.
That was probably one of the first ones, though, right there in April, so, yeah.
Well, what was it like performing virtually?
I was torn in the beginning. Just is this something you should do? I've seen artists do it. You know, you don't want to look like you're going, you know, because you put out a PayPal and Venmo handle or whatever you have. And that's a whole new way of thinking and going, well, I don't want to look like I'm asking people to just give me money or something. But I saw other artists were doing it, and it's kind of a way that I think became normal. And people were asking for it, going, no, like, let us know how we can help out, or, you know, and then they were actually starting to ask for virtual shows, which I thought was neat. But anyway, I just thought it was a cool opportunity that Calico reached out to me and said, well, we're looking to do this, because normally they do music on Sundays, most commonly. So then to have their Saturday nights, their whole idea was, we still want to make it somewhat normal.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to use air quotes, but I realized we're recording, so that wouldn't have done any good.
Audio air quotes.
Audio air quotes. Anyway, but that way people could come, pick up their pizza, take and bake pizza, and some wine, and then go home and tune into live music. So it was a series then that we got to start, which was really neat. And then through that, I thought it was cool to be promoting another venue. But then there were some other opportunities, and people said, no, just do it whenever. And so it kind of became a neat way to spend that time when there wasn't, you know, actual live gigs. But
what did you learn throughout the process of doing the virtual shows?
You know, you learn a lot. You learn, I guess, if it's awkward, you just got to roll with it. Because, I mean, I think that's kind of similar to a live show in person that way, where, you know, you don't get a chance to, I mean, what people see, they see, but this time it's recorded so they can go back and keep re-seeing it. But just learning to feel comfortable in that setting. And I found that I was talking to the camera the same way I would if people were there face to face, because I thought, well, this is just who I am. And so it was neat to kind of to learn that side of yourself. And when you're playing for hours at a time on an actual show and you're trying to remember all these songs or think what to play next, this, you know, they're shorter segments, so then you kind of think, okay, I gotta come up, like, think on the spot, kind of have some of my best stuff, maybe hopefully best stuff, ready to go. But then you throw in some requests, and you still try to have that interactive element. And another thing that was really neat was seeing the way people were interacting. So there are people on there, and then somebody else would go, well, hey there, and then they're having a conversation, what are you up to? And it was just neat the way it brought people together in a time when you can't physically be together. So,
well, and I think we all learned a lot.
Yeah.
I had to. I was not really big on having to do Zoom interviews or record a call, interviews and so forth, but it had to be done if I wanted to keep the show going.
Absolutely.
But it felt so good to sit down with somebody again face to face and record, and that was awesome. So it's good to see you in person again.
Yes, yeah.
And we did catch you last week as well, outdoors, and you were over at the Sandbar. So you've had a couple of chances to be at it again. So now, after the virtual shows, what's the feeling when you get back in front of people live?
It's awesome. Before I do that, I do have to say, I hope you know how much I appreciate you and your whole family coming, online, tuning in virtually, and then coming to my shows in person again, and it means a lot. So and that's neat. There's been a lot of people that way too that have just kind of been there with me throughout each phase. But I guess that's the thing that's neat is, like, as this changes, as it changed from live in-person shows to virtual, kind of being hopefully at the front end of that, starting the virtual shows out when that needed to come, and then when now there's venues you can go play at again, it's like getting a chance to try to catch those as they're starting to open back up, and then be there in person. I mean, it's surreal. I joke about that. So the first Calico is kind of a lot of the first of a lot of things, it seems like, but they were my first in-person show again on Mother's Day, and I fully admit I took my first break. I took a 45-minute break because I was so glad to see everyone, and everybody seemed to be glad to chat. But we just,
the socializing part of it.
Yeah, because I always try to make sure to go around right. And say hi to everybody. But just I spent more time at each table. But it's fine. I said, guys, I'm gonna play at least a half hour longer. Like, we'll make up for it. And then I didn't take another break, so it evened out. But I guess that surreal feeling of like, oh, we're in person again.
Well, that is definitely one thing about you that we've noticed. Also, is if. Maybe you started a few minutes late or something, you always say, well, I'll make it up. And you always do.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know if people necessarily are like, oh, Elizabeth, yeah, you got to play an extra 10 minutes. I think most people would say, oh, you're fine. Because they come to see you, at least my opinion.
Yeah.
They come to see you for a variety of reasons. First of all, you're very talented.
Thank you.
Musically, lyrically. And you're also incredible person that just your persona exudes when you're performing. And it's so fun to see you perform. And they know that you're going to be genuine as well. So that's always a great
thing.
That's
a huge compliment. And well, really nice. I hope that's how I'm thought of. So that's really, really neat.
I would venture a guess that the vast, vast majority of people think of you that way.
Thank you.
And there's certainly other artists around town that think of you that way and attribute a lot of their success to you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And so that's always a good thing to know. But what's great is the fact that, you know, we have so many people here in the Sioux Empire that do make a living off of their arts or entertainment.
Absolutely.
And so it's good to see that there were the virtual shows now that things are reopening. But at this point then, how are things in comparison to where you would normally be?
I've been trying actually to not compare in a way. I mean, sometimes I will go, okay, let's look at June compared to normal Junes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's filling up again pretty much like a regular June. Things are just maybe rolling in a little later. People are going, oh, we're going to do an event here in a couple of weeks. Like, can you do it kind of thing, which is totally understandable because we're all kind of just winging it. But at the same time, I think I just look at it as like, oh, another gig. Like, you know, it's just nice to have. And then if you don't have one, it almost makes it kind of just, you relax a little and go, well, you know what? We went for several months there with no actual gigs. So I guess a week of maybe a little less work or something. I mean, it kind of puts things into perspective. I was going to go back to your comment earlier about when I start or I this or that. I always feel like part of my show or my performing is just a chance to connect with everyone. And whether I go around and make rounds right away or I do it later or both or whatever, and it's all part of it. And it's just nice because I want people to feel connected. And I think that's what these virtual shows were missing, was it was like, okay, you don't go around talk to people, then when you're done and it's just quiet. But then you go online and you comment back and stuff, which is nice. But I don't know, it's just, I guess the way it's all changing, it's just neat. People are getting out in the patios.
Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier when I asked about what you learned during the virtual and so forth. Did you also critique yourself more because it was there to be, you could go back and play it again and so forth? Or did you hold off and just say, I am the way I am?
This is a yes and no. And I know I'm jumping around because it is. It's like so funny. Like everything we say, it's like, oh, I think back to this moment and then related to the current where we're going, what direction we're headed now. But for a while there, I made sure, okay, I better go back and watch every show. And so the first one I did, I probably watched it within the next 24 hours. Then the next one, it probably took me a couple of days, and then it was about a week or two. Because I think I got to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I like watching myself this much. And, you know, I thought, I can't go back and watch myself after I do an actual gig all the time. But it's good. I probably should take a few more notes. So I like to think I picked up on a few things, but at the same time, it's hard to go back and watch yourself that much, I think. Then I've got nice friends who go, keep the virtual shows coming because they don't live around here. And That's nice too. But I think, man, we get sick of watching. No. Anyway. But
well, we can always come by and we can video you in a live show and give it to you so that you can send it to them.
It's very nice. I just, when it's yourself, you know, they always say that. Or I don't know for you,
how you got used to
hearing your voice. I mean, it's like, it's just
horrible. It was horrible to begin with.
Thing.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
That's funny.
So when you've done the virtual, now getting back and so forth, were there any new songs you had to learn? Any requests that threw you for a little bit?
Well, I've got my planner out here in the front of it. I had just like full of sticky notes, full of requests, because I got to where, you know, everything was written. So I thought, well, I'm not very respectful if I don't write them down. So I just had a list going, and I got through a lot of them. And I knew each show I would do, I'd add in a bunch. But I know there were some like yours, ain't no mountain high enough. And I feel like that, that people are like, why didn't you get my song in there? And I'm like, well, some songs like that one has a lot more chord changes. So
I didn't realize it was the chord changes that threw you on that.
Well,
so much.
it's because I haven't sat down to look at them. And I told you.
The nice thing was you not only did give it the old college try, you pretty well nailed it anyway.
Well, thank you. It's on my list to have better.
And you threw in Girl from Ipanema at the same time. Yeah.
Thanks.
So, yeah, you get double points for that.
The variety. That's my favorite question, and you're the perfect person to say that too, because what did you say? On our last show, you said I play whatever, wherever, or whenever, basically. I thought that was cool. So I thought, you know, anytime people ask, what kind of music do you do? I mean, you're the perfect person. I should just go off the front of Dave, because, I mean, we got Ain't No Mountain High Enough to Girl From Ipanema to, I mean,
it covers quite a bit.
You know, just whatever vibe the crowd's feeling.
Very true. And I suppose that has become something that as an artist, you really have to read too. I mean, not just, you know, by saying, hey, if you got a request, bring it up here. But from those requests, then you're going, okay, if I'm going to play this, this would probably be a good tune as well, right?
Yeah. Well, which one's the crowd? Okay, if I play this song, chances are everyone's going to know it and love it. Mm-hmm. Or this song is that one-off request that somebody was like, can you really just play this for me? But then if that person comes to a lot of your shows, you learn it for them. And then some of those end up being my favorite ones to play, but then people don't know them as much, so you don't end up playing them as much. It depends on the song, but I guess.
What's been the most fun for you to do as an entertainer?
Most fun, like song-wise or just anything?
Song-wise or a particular venue that you've liked to play at or an honor you received?
Gosh. I guess the first thought that comes to mind is I feel like I'm reaching a point where I'm really seeing myself, like I said, more as an entertainer, you know, as a musician or a piano player, and then I added singing and all this growing up, which we talked about the last time. But anyway, seeing that evolve into the whole other side of the art form is how do you perform in front of people, but then you're not just performing, but the entertaining and getting people to engage. I mean, hopefully if they want to, that they feel like, hey, you can tell me what you want, but at the same time, if you just want to chill and I just kind of play, that's fine. And so I guess maybe that's just one of the coolest things is where this has evolved. And I will say last week on the Sandbar patio, and you guys were there a long time, which was really nice. And then I think you left by the point that at one point everybody was listening to everything, which may or may not be a good thing, but no, it was fun because we had jokes going back and forth, and but then they were like, play this, and I was playing a lot of the requests, but then okay, well, we're all coming back in 2 weeks now. I don't know if they're all coming back in 2 weeks, but, or you know, a week from Wednesday now I'll be at Sandbar again, but I wrote down a list of some songs, and we've got like plans made for next time. So maybe that point of that growth of making such a connection and looking around that patio and going, I had a lot of regulars there. And I think, I don't mean Sandbar regulars. I mean, Elizabeth Hunstead regulars, if I can call them that. I mean, I just felt very honored. And so maybe that's a huge thing for me, is just seeing that connection.
Familiar faces and seeing, with you for show.
Well, yeah, and then seeing that through the virtual thing, too, I was watching that build and going, wow, all these people really are, like, with me, which is really neat. And I hope people know that I want to support them, and, you know, that's why I play, too, is to hopefully bring them some good vibes in their day or whatever. But
certainly, there's no doubt about that. When it's anybody that's ever seen one of your shows knows Thanks. That there's camaraderie amongst the crowd, in addition to respect and the enjoyability that you provide as a performer. What are the things you hope to accomplish yet, though, you know, down the road? What's in store for us with you?
You know, I do hope to just continue to build that following, and I've played other places, but I do stick to the Sioux Falls area because the city's been so great to me and given me so many opportunities, and it's nice when you can get work here and not have to travel. But I'd like to do some more traveling, and I would like to record. I find myself, I get on like an autopilot of the things I'm doing, and I think I would need to write some more songs and stuff, but you know, maybe there's some more of that, like artist side, because I've evolved hopefully into this more of this entertainment side, and can play, getting to the point where I can play almost any cover. I mean, some things I need to go and do a little homework on first, but you know, maybe eventually then I can figure more into writing and more of that creating side, and then incorporate more of that into my shows. And I don't know, I mean, because I'm grateful for what I have going, but I'm always, you always want to stay relevant mm-hmm. and see what maybe comes next. And
what's the difficulty in finding with all the genres that you cover and the time frames that you cover, how difficult is it to find a current tune that can be something that relates in a live setting to people that maybe are not from the age group of that genre that the song came from?
So like a song that's on the radio right now to right. people that haven't been
that
listening
haven't
to
heard
the...
it. Or maybe it's that one out of that particular type of music that people do hear a lot of.
Yes. You know, so
finding that song, what's it take?
I think what it honestly, I let that be like an element of surprise for me almost. Like I mm-hmm. just take these requests and people say, I want you to play this song or something, and I'll learn it, and then I just gauge off of how it gets the response. So good example of that is that Underdog by Alicia Keys, and I keep right. talking about it because that's a really new one right now. But I don't get a huge crowd response when I play it. But I'm like, guys, it's Alicia Keys, and I love singing her stuff. But then, and the message is wonderful. But it doesn't. But then, like, was it last summer or so? I had a couple people request, like, separate things, request Old Town Road. And I thought, okay, that song's really funny. I mean, because I don't really pay attention to the words until I go to learn it. And but what I found with that one, so I'm just, I'll try it, we'll gauge. Oh, everywhere I would play, people would, you know, react and then kind of go, I hate to say it, but I like the song. I'm like, nope, don't even hate to say it anymore. Just be proud of it. And it's fun because, like, I play out at Wild Prairie Winery, mm-hmm. and there's some kids that come there that's their request. They love when I play that. But, I mean, it's and I'm talking little kids, so they're listening to that. But even, like, maybe an older crowd that maybe hasn't heard it, just if it's got a catchy beat like that, or they see everybody else is getting into it, or they see I'm having fun because I'm laughing kind of through it, too, through some of the lyrics. And so maybe it's just more of that kind of energy you put out there, or I don't know if that kind of answers it.
Because I guess as I'm growing older, and there are songs that, you know, 30 years ago that were in my wheelhouse in terms of the age bracket that would have been listening to it, I didn't necessarily care for it. Now, 30 years later, I'm going, you know what, that really was a pretty good tune.
Yeah.
And then now there are songs that are just a few years old that I probably really haven't listened to at all, mm-hmm. if at best very little, and I'll go see it live by somebody such as yourself, it's like, wow, that song has so much to it. Is it because radio and music, you know, when we go to buy it at a music store, although there's very little of that anymore, it's mostly online that people do that, is it because so much is just overproduced and there's not that element to it?
That could be, and you know, that's, I've heard that actually, you know, that you say that, and that's neat, because it, from the, when you're watching perspective, and I've thought of that too, certain songs that you hear one way, but then when you hear a musician cover it, you go, wow, that's, you hear it in a whole new way. And people tell me they feel that when I play things, which is neat, but I've heard that with other musicians too, where you go, wow, I just really, now I like that song more than I realized.
Right.
But I guess that's why I kind of, for me, it's an element of surprise, because I just go, well, I'm going to play these and see how they come across. And then certain people go, wow, that song, or another one's that Sunflower by Post Malone. I learned that when it first came out, and people were just like, That's a good song for you, Elizabeth. I'm like, oh, it is. I just learned it because I liked it. It was catchy. Yeah. But okay.
Well, you know that, so, that. See, there's a great example of it.
It's funny.
I had never even heard of Post Malone.
Right.
But then I've heard you, and it's like, that's a cool tune.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and I find myself at more events, live events, live music, going, there's just so much more to music than we're giving it, but I wish we could get back to more. And a mm-hmm. very good friend of mine, his one of his favorite quotes is to say, live music is good for the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think whether you're listening to it or playing it, because, you know, another aspect of that, with any song, old or new, it might be something that I've heard a million times, like, oh, really? You want me to play that? And I mean,
right.
Sorry, guys. We all feel that way sometimes. That's me being honest, of course. You know, like, okay, we'll see if I can, like, do it justice. But then you start to learn it, and you go, oh, this is a really good song, or this is a well-written song, whether it's the chord structure or it's the lyrics that tell a story. And then you go, I get why people like this. Okay, I was wrong. And we'll say that again to everybody who's listening. Like, I'm wrong a lot of times, because I go, okay. And that's why I like the requests that come in, because I don't always think of those. You know, if I just am picking songs, I don't miss out on a lot of things. So it is neat the way, whether you're listening to it differently because someone's playing it, or like we're learning it and going, oh, I never would have heard that song that way if I didn't try to learn it. So neat.
So the pandemic has taught us things. We've had to endure some things. What are you hoping, aside from the entertainment aspect of it and your entertainment business aspect of it, that maybe we all come away with?
I think there were a lot of values that we got to be reminded of during the pandemic, and just slowing down. Our society is so rushed all the time, and taking that time with family and loved ones, and being able to really appreciate that time together, but also for ourselves. I know that I get out, I'm out a lot. So if I'm mm-hmm. out playing, and then I'm out socializing, and I really enjoy that. But it's also, I really enjoyed my time at home, and I felt like, for me, I ended up kind of getting into a better place, because, I mean, you just, what can you do? You either resist it, or you go, okay, this is where we're at. And I think that I really enjoyed a lot of aspects, and it's made me really appreciate now that, like you said, here we are face to face.
Exactly.
Like, there were months that I couldn't even see anybody. But no, so I definitely hope that everybody feels like there are certain things where we go, oh, maybe we don't need to do this as much, or, you know, okay, we save money here. Maybe, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, hopefully it helps. But at the same time, spend money, because we want people to get out
exactly.
and support the businesses, yeah. too. Just maybe finding where that balance is.
Local businesses, yeah. especially the ones that support arts and entertainment.
Yes.
All
well,
right.
everything. But, yeah.
Well, we support you, Elizabeth Onstead. Thank you so much for being on the show again.
Honored to come back.
And
thank you.
You are welcome to be on anytime.
Thank you.
You just call me up, say, Dave, I got to be on. I got something coming up.
I like
up,
the
okay?
acronym. I'm a FOTS.
Yep.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
All right. Friend of the
you.
Show,
yeah,
Elizabeth
right.
Onstead. Thanks
thank
again.
Thank you.
And we'll be back to wrap things up on the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tutti provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Hey, thanks again for listening this week. It is always a pleasure to talk Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. I love the conversations that we have, and thank you to those two great guests today, Zach Dresch, the stand-up comedian, the entertainer of all sorts, man. He's a good friend, too, and I appreciate it. And a gal that's become a friend of the show and is quickly becoming a good friend of all of the unpaid staff here is Elizabeth Onstead, and thank you again to her. We recorded her interview at
Woodgrain. And so if you get a chance, make sure you go over to Woodgrain and say, hey, thanks for allowing them to record here, because I've recorded quite a few of the interviews at that location. But another location that I've recorded one at, and one that you're going to want to get involved in if you've never been there, Books and Brews. Here's what we have cooking. Yeah, pun intended there with cooking pizza. All right. If you would like to win free pizza, what I need you to do is go to the DaveHollyHour.com website. No the in front of it, just DaveHollyHour.com. You will find great things about the show, including some past guests. You also have the opportunity from that page to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, so that you can download any episode that we've ever had. And this was number 35 today. Go to the contact page, and in the spot, in the subject line, put Dave's Faves. See, Books and Brews was my very first Dave's Faves on this show for a great reason, because it's great pizza, great people. Love them dearly down there. So what we've gone ahead and done, Books and Brews is now going to sponsor once a month. We will draw someone's name for pizza with me and possibly one of your favorite guests. So go to the contact, put in Dave's Faves, and then in the area that you can actually write comments, tell me either a favorite episode or a favorite honorable mention or a favorite guest. And you can enter as many times as you want. And then at the end of the month, or actually the beginning of the month, we will draw from the previous month's entrance. And it'll be pizza at Books and Brews with me. And if you wrote down a favorite guest, possibly see if we can't get them to come join us as well. So make sure you enter. Enter as many times as you like, but you can only have one episode, etc., on an entry. But good luck and good eating, too. So thank you to Books and Brews that'll be sponsoring that for us. And next week, more great Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations headed your way. I'm Dave Holly. Remember, for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.